Blog Talk Radio.
Former Blackhawk, local guy, and the current color analyst for the Blackhawks on television, it is Eddie Olczyk.
The guy's an asshole. Dead air moments. Paid out the rectum.
Well, first of all, we're very, very happy with Dennis Savard as our head coach. He's growing.
What the fuck does that mean? I don't know how long you guys got, but I'll sit here till 4 in the morning and explain to you why James Wisniewski sucks.
You're never surprised by anything.
Who am I supposed to vote for? Am I supposed to vote for the Democrat who's going to blast me in the ass, or the Republican who's blasting my ass?
Politics is just all one big ass
it
blast.
You're going to get your ass blasted.
Nationwide
ass
blast. Make him humble.
What is slashing?
Slashing is like death, you know?
Mm-hmm. And there's a penalty for that?
Yeah. And for a trip also, you know,
oh.
Like that. And
mm-hmm.
for hook, like this. And for spear, you know, like that.
Mm-hmm.
All bad.
Bad.
You do that, you go to the box, you know, 2 minutes by yourself, and you feel shame, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get free.
We're men, okay? That means a few things. We like to shit with the door open. We talk about pussy. We go on riverboat gambling trips. We make our own beef jerky. That's what we do.
We got Booty Tang in the house tonight.
All right, Superstar, you know, it's been a pretty rough last 12 months for me, as you maybe well know.
I know more than I want to.
You know, it's funny because, like, I mean, if there's something that could happen to a guy, it's probably happened to me.
Yeah, multiple times.
Yeah. And, I mean, I don't know. I mean, more, you know, I mean, more than just, like, what we talked about last week and you getting married. I mean, that was something that bad that happened to me as well. Or affected me in a you know, slightly negative manner. I mean, I'm sure you don't feel the same.
No. Sorry, man.
But, I mean, it's like, I mean, I don't know. Like, I was, let's see, I had intruders. I was the victim of road rage. I have had my life threatened. And that's going to continue to happen more and more, I think.
Agreed.
Yeah. Let's see. My computer started on fire. Like, literally started on fire in my house.
Hilarious.
I mean, many escapades that we really don't need to talk about or rehash right here. I was involved in a armed robbery. I mean, I wasn't, let me clarify, I wasn't the one armed and I wasn't doing the robbery. So, but I was involved.
Shocking.
I happened to be there. Let's just say that. I was exonerated of any wrongdoing. But it's been a pretty rough go at it. And for those that you know, maybe you tried to listen live tonight, or like something happened again tonight on my way home, and we don't really need to talk about it. But it is the Third Manian Radio here on this Wednesday night, April the 14th. 2010. It is 9:04 for those of you keeping score. And it is the Third Man Radio. It is Chris Block alongside my co-host, the Superstar. How are you doing tonight, Superstar?
I am well.
This is the official radio show slash podcast slash audio program of thethirdmanin.com here at blogtalkradio.com/thethirdmanin. Superstar, we got a lot to talk about tonight.
We have a lot of shit to go over.
I mean, the playoffs have already started, but I don't know what's going on, and I haven't looked, and because I want to try to watch it in its entirety later, or what I can catch live as we go along here. But we got to go over our playoff predictions in full. We're not going to just one round, and then when the one round's over, we get to try again. No, we're going to give the people the full shebang tonight.
Yeah, that's some shit right there.
Yeah, we're going to go over that. Now, I had like this whole super mega show planned in which we were going to, first we were going to take a look back at what our season predictions were, but like, prior to the 2009-10 season and kind of take a look back at those and evaluate and either pat ourselves on the back or basically everyone would see that we just don't know what the hell we're talking about. Okay.
Well,
we
generally don't have a clue what the fuck we're talking about, but we like to think we do.
Last night I went back and listened to the preseason prediction show, which you actually, Superstar, you were a part of that show, but you weren't on that show.
No, I probably was not.
You were on that show, but your contributions were pre-recorded, and I do have to say it was one of your better shows.
Not shocking at all.
If people are looking for a highlight, reel of Superstar, it was on that show. It was a really good. I mean, I got to say, I really enjoyed you on that program.
Well, I'm glad I could help.
You did. It was very helpful that you pre-recorded your thoughts and sent them in to us so we could have you on the preseason predictions. So you don't actually have any preseason predictions that we can go over that I know of anyway. But I mean, perhaps you do. But we could go over. It was myself and the Wad that night, and some of Wad's were really bad. And he did have a couple that were pretty good. Mine were, some were really on the money, and others were not so much. And I was, not so far off. And I will defend myself on some of them, but we're going to go over those on Monday night. Our next show will be on Monday night, and then at 8 o'clock, at least that's the plan. And we'll also go back and we'll pick our regular season Blackhawk awards, and we'll also go through some of the NHL awards that we don't get to tonight. Tonight's program is brought to you by Chicago's Pizza and Pasta. You could check that out at chicagos-pizza.com. 4 locations in Chicago, 3114 North Lincoln, 3006 North Sheffield, 1919 West Montrose, and 4520 West Irving Park Road. Once again, chicagospizza.com. And also, the Northern Illinois Inline Hockey League, with summer leagues beginning on June 3rd.
What? Are you getting paid for that one?
Of course I am.
God damn it.
You think it gets billing at the top of the show?
That's what I'm saying.
Out at the Leafs Ice Center out there in West Dundee, just west of Randall Road on Route 72. For you Northwesterns, you would know that as Higgins, conveniently located near I-90. That is NHLinlinehockey.com. Superstar.
Yeah.
The Nashville Predators, we learned that on Sunday when the Blackhawks conveniently or inconveniently could not beat the Detroit Red Wings on their home ice in a game that they desperately wanted to win. What do you think about the matchup? Nashville Predators, is it let's just get your thoughts.
Well, Black, I find it actually a pretty interesting matchup. For a divisional team, they haven't faced this team since December. So it was well before the All-Star break, Olympic break. This is such a different team than it was before then. They've had a lot of bad, a lot of good. I know a couple weeks ago I said, this team, I don't care. The way they're playing, they're out in five games. Of course, once I say that, they go on a little bit of a roll. Not seeing a division team for such a long time, obviously a team that they're pretty familiar with. I think it bodes well for the Hawks, and I do see them coming out of this one in six. I've seen a lot of four or five games. You know, Nashville doesn't stand a chance. Nashville's a really good team. Pekka Rinne, Shane Weber, you know, Suter back there on defense. I think it's a lot closer than people think.
Yeah, I mean, the Blackhawks haven't played the Predators since December 27th at the United Center. It was a 5-4 win for the Blackhawks. That was a game that the Blackhawks tried to throw blow, and they did blow a two-goal third-period lead, and they ended up Patrick Kane scored with about 44 seconds left in that game to give the Blackhawks a 5-4 win. Antti Niemi was in net that night. That was it was the back end of a home-and-home that started in Nashville post-Christmas. Blackhawks won 4-1 on Boxing Day with Cristobal Huey in net. I know that a lot of people sort of, you know, and it was sort of the theme to the season, the six games that the team did play before New Year's. A lot of people are focusing their fear or angst or sort of nervousness on Martin Erath. I look at Martin Erath kind of the way I do Radom Verbata in Phoenix, and one of the reasons why I don't think Phoenix is going to be long for these playoffs. If the Blackhawks come out and they try to assert themselves in every single way of that meaning, specifically physically, you're probably going to have to run into Martin Erath on the power play, and he'll pick up a point here and there. But 5-on-5, Martin Erath shouldn't be an issue if the Blackhawks make him an issue. And I think he's one guy that they're probably going to have to do that with. But, like you said, the Predators aren't getting any respect, and I really don't understand why. This is a group that has been to the playoffs before. They have actually a decent amount of experience in the playoffs. They have, on their blue line, they have two Olympians who were very good Olympians, and Shea Weber and Ryan Suter for the U.S. So, I mean, and up front, I really do believe that they're a lot deeper up front than anybody's giving them credit for. I mean, do they have a Patrick Kane or a Jonathan Toews? No. Do they have Marian Hossa? No. But they're going to be able – they'll get – balanced scoring, I think, from three lines. Two and maybe the third one will chip in. And also, they're going to have guys running around. Joel Ward, Dustin Boyd, and Jordan Tutu are going to be running around causing disturbances. Those are names that you're going to know very well by the end of this series. Those are probably Boyd and Tutu, and everybody knows Tutu. But, I mean, those guys are going to be Blackhawk fan nemesis by the end of this series just because they're going to be very active, and that's going to be part of their game plan to beat the Hawks is for those guys to be, you know, active and running around and making themselves, a part of this series and try to get the Blackhawks to, I don't think Tutu might be dirty. I just see Dustin Boyd as an aggressive, hard-nosed player who's going to go strong to the net and probably end up bumping into Antti Niemi every once in a while just because he's going to go that hard and the Blackhawks are going to look to take him out on the way in. But Joel Ward's, they're bigger than I think a lot of people sort of look at them. Joel Ward is an underrated guy, sort of a streaky scorer and performer, really. But I like this Nashville team, and I like it as a first-round matchup for the Blackhawks because – while the Avalanche would have been a lot better because the Blackhawks could have come in and got on a good roll and got rid of a team in four or five games, I think that it's going to be good for the Blackhawks to go up against a team that is coming at them with confidence, and they're going to have to deal with a team like that right away instead of sort of, just steamrolling an Avalanche team and then going into the second round maybe a little bit too big for their britches. I think that the Nashville Predators are going to scare the Blackhawks. This is going to be a long series. I agree with you. It's going to be six games. I think the Blackhawks take care of it down in Nashville in game six. But I also think that the Predators are going to play very, very well in the United Center on Friday night. I do not expect that to be a blowout. The Blackhawks typically don't play particularly well after long layoffs. And there was a quote that Joe Quenneville gave the media yesterday that, you know, in the Blackhawks' first practice back, they took the day off on Monday. But Joe Quenneville said something, and I don't have it in front of me, but something to the effect of the, you know, when asked about the layoff here, that the fact that they're going to be off four full days between Sunday and Friday's playoff opener, and he sort of said, like, you know, it was a good opportunity for his team to get rested, you know, focused and enthused, you know, and that concerned me. Now, that could have just been Joe Quenneville not, choosing his words correctly, but for the coach of the second seed in the conference, you know,
get enthused.
Yeah, the second seed in the conference who, you know, was 1 point or, you know, 1 goal away from being the top seed in the conference, a win on home ice, you know, to lose that, you know, I mean, that alone should have, you know, there should be no inspiration needed. The Blackhawks had a chance to play the Avalanche in round one, and they blew it. And now they've got a better team, a pesky team, a divisional rival, and he's talking about his team needing time to get enthused about the. I hope that was just a bad choice of words, because that concerned me. That was an ominous quote yesterday from Joel Quenneville. Is that a coach that knows something about his team right now, and is just, you know, is he going to wait until Thursday's practice to really lay it on them and get them, you know, ready for Friday? Or is that a coach that is going into this series with too much confidence? And, you know, because some coaches will do this. Some coaches will say, all right, guys, you know, it's a long playoff, and I've got so many bullets to fire in this playoff, so I'm going to let them go out in game one, and we'll roll the dice. And if they don't turn it on in the first period, then I can come back in, you know, after the after the first period's over, and I can lay down the law. Like, if he's got that mentality right now that he's not sure how his team is going to be, you know, mentally focused and ready and to come out on the opening night of the playoffs against Nashville Predators, if that's a concern of his right now, I think that's an enormous concern.
It's large.
Because the Blackhawks are not a team that turns it on easy. I mean, they can get it going, and then they, you know, things start, you know, rolling and happening well for them. But they're not necessarily a team that just, you know, it turned. And in the playoffs, you can't even do that because the games are up, you know, in intensity just a couple of notches. And as they go along, they get. I mean, individual things that happen in each playoff game turn up the intensity as you go along. And if you get behind the proverbial eight ball, then, I mean, the dominoes just keep coming flying at you. So they better be ready opening puck drop, and that's the end of the story.
Yeah, and on that note, if you really think about games throughout the year, and as great as the team played and as good as they are, how many games did they take a period off? Well, because they're so talented, you know, they'll get up 2, 3, 4 goals, take a period off, and end up winning the game by a goal, by 2 goals. Hey, that happened a lot more than people may want to think. You cannot do that in the playoffs. You can't take a period off, let alone 10-5 minutes.
Right. I mean, it will completely shift based on, you know, 5 minutes in a playoff game. True.
Right. And this team was notorious for taking periods off, primarily the second.
I will say this about the Blackhawks, and I'll be the positive is the right word, but I'll defend them in this case. It is correct to say that they've taken games off, they've taken periods off in certain times. But I think it's unfair to just say that the Blackhawks have a bad period, that they took a period off. That's not categorical. I mean, if it's unfair to their opponent, and it's unfair to the Blackhawks too. I think that I've seen them, you see them out there at times because they're so talented and things go so well for them at times. And it happens, at every level of hockey. You sometimes forget how you get things done out there. It's only natural. When things just start going your way, sometimes you just forget the formula. And it takes something bad to, or something to go wrong in order for it to click back in your head again. So I don't know that you could say, they've taken period. But, yeah, I mean, I just think that it's important for them to come out against Nashville. Nashville is a team that truly believes they can beat the Blackhawks. And this is a team that, they weren't in the playoffs last year, but this group, the core of this group, has been together for a while. They've played the Blackhawks in the regular season, of course, every season, a bunch of games, and they're basically has been split down the middle. They've had success in the United Center. They played, they played tough games down in Nashville. So, and they truly believe. And if the stat that's out there, it's not a good stat for Blackhawks fans to look at. But the 2-7 seed, it's almost 500 as far as the second seed winning percentage in these 2-7 series. So I think there's all these factors that are playing into the Nashville Predators' hands right now. The Blackhawks, it's imperative that they come out ready to fire. And even if you don't score 3 goals in the first period on Pecorine, you have to assert yourself in that first period. And not assert yourself in the first period and then take a step back in the second. Because that's how the other team sort of gets going on their own, because if you take it off of the gas in the second period and they get a little momentum, then they start thinking that they took your best shot and now the game is theirs. You understand what I'm saying? Like that's sort of how that works. Once you got, you've had all this time off and you're ready to go. The Blackhawks want to finish this. I don't think anybody could think that the Blackhawks are going to sweep the Predators, even the most optimistic Blackhawk fan. But they can get it done in 5, but they have to play their best hockey. And if they get it done in 5, because the next round, we'll give out our predictions here in a minute, but the next round, they either have, more than likely, Colorado could wake up and beat San Jose, and then everything's different. But in the next round, they have Vancouver or Detroit waiting for them. So, I don't think that Phoenix-Detroit series is going very long, and I do think it's going to take Vancouver, if they can get by L.A., that series going long. So the Blackhawks want to, I think that they really do want to get this series over with as quick as they can. I think it's going to take 6, but like I said, come out, and you got to be ready. That's why I hated that quote yesterday when I saw that. That was just like, what is that coach thinking? What is Joe Quenneville thinking that slipped out of his mouth?
Yeah, right, but you know what? On the whole 4 days rest, what do you make of them being the only series to start on Friday?
It's the NHL. People are blaming the Harlem Globetrotters. The NHL did not want 5 series starting on Wednesday night. The Blackhawks could have started tonight at the United Center Wednesday night, but the league didn't want 5 series starting on Wednesday night. The United Center is booked on Thursday. Say what you want about the Harlem Globetrotters, but it was the league that decided not to do 5 games on the opening night of the playoffs. So, I don't think it's such a bad thing, because I think that if you know, there's a chance, and I don't know, obviously the Bulls are out now, so, but I don't know if the NBA would have had a hold on Saturday night at the United Center. But there was a good chance that if they would have opened on Wednesday, that they wouldn't have played again until Saturday. So, I mean, eventually they were going to get on this course to, you know, to where the series is ending. At least now the Blackhawks can get in a rhythm. They have this time, you know, this time off. They can work on the power play. You know, it gives, you know, they had a practice today, and I don't know why Brian Campbell skated with the team like he was a part of the team in a real practice today. I think it was showmanship, it was gamemanship, because he's not ready to play. He's not even close. There's no chance that he's going to participate in games 1, 2, 3, probably even 4. There's no chance. So,
well, you know, that was my next thing. I had the quote pulled up, and I was about to bring it up. I don't know if you saw it or not. But Brian Campbell said today, I practiced today, and I pretty much kept up with him. I'm just going to keep skating, and I haven't ruled anything out but game 1. That's all I will rule out now, and that's how I'll move forward. The biggest thing is getting my legs ready for when I do get back.
Right, and that's part of it. But like I said, I mean, if the series were to have started on Thursday night, I don't think that there's any time for them to slip Brian Campbell into a practice. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, I guess, you know, they have that luxury. So, yeah, if that's true, if that's really what they were doing, you know, no one was going to touch Brian Campbell. He was just going to skate around at practice, you know, full practice speed and see where he's at as far as, you know, his wind and everything and his legs, but and try to get him back on a course. But, I mean, if they have to, like, have a serious practice with the guys that they know that they're going with on Friday night, you know, he's not out there, you know, but they're going to have that practice on Thursday. You know, but. All right, so keys to the series real quick. Give me a guy on the Blackhawks that absolutely has to have a studly series for this team to either make quick work of the Predators or get rid of him in your prediction of 6.
Well, you know, I'm gonna just qualify the goaltending position because I think that's a pretty obvious one that Antti Niemi needs to play well. Obviously, limit the soft goals against, control his rebounds. So, I mean, obviously, that's a safe choice to say. But I went back and forth this when after I started thinking about it. And stepping into a role, I'm going to say Dustin Byfuglien. If he really is going to be one of those guys to eat up minutes back there on the blue line, he needs to play well. We've talked about it. It's a totally different game in the playoffs. The speed, the intensity, everything is different. And while I think he's done a pretty good job stepping up back there since, you know, Johnson went down, Campbell went down, Seabrook went down. I think he's done a really well, you know, pretty good job back there. But now it's playoff time. It's a totally different game. He's going to have to stay performing if the Hawks are going to have any chance of closing this out early.
Right. And the other thing to consider here, it's not just Dustin Byfuglien. I think that's a great pick. It was also on my list of guys that I wanted to bring up. Dustin Byfuglien is going to be a key centerpiece of the Predators' attack. Because he's going to be out there with Duncan Keith, and of course the Predators are going to try to keep the puck away from Duncan Keith. The Predators will dump the puck in a lot. And when they dump that puck in, there's two targets. There's Antti Niemi, who's incompetent with the puck, handling that puck around his net. Outside of his crease. He's terrible. So they know that. They've seen it. They're going to attempt to get Antti Niemi to come out of his crease and handle the puck. That's going to be a strategy. And two, if Dustin Byfuglien is going to continue to skate with Duncan Keith, there is absolutely no reason unless, you know, positioning and the situation absolutely, it's a must. You're not going to dump the puck in on Duncan Keith's side. You're going to dump it in softly so it ends up in the corner or just behind the net, and Dustin Byfuglien has to play it. and they're going to come in and they're going to put a body on Dustin Byfuglien every single time. And again, as we've seen, Dustin Byfuglien doesn't play very well, moving backwards. His game, since I've seen him play, you know, which is 4 years ago, 5 years ago in Norfolk, Virginia, it's all moving forward. As a defenseman, he was all moving forward. That's all he ever was. Get the puck and go with it. He became a fourth forward every time he was out there. That's his game. If he's going to be out there, and he will at least at the start of the series, taking a regular shift with the Blackhawks, you know, minute cruncher in Duncan Keith, he has to play simple hockey. And he's got to play a more stay-at-home game. And it's get down to that corner, and it's chip it back around to Keith, or chip it straight up the boards to a forward. Simple, basic, elementary hockey. That's what he's got to do, because you know you can't have the Dustin Byfuglien out there who gets the puck and then thinks about what he's going to do, because by the time he does that, Dustin Boyd or Joel Ward or even a smaller player is going to come in and they are going to intercept that puck, or they're going to create problems down low in the Hawks' end. And you know, as big as Dustin Byfuglien is as a defenseman, he doesn't always play that big. So I think that's a major concern. Also, hand in hand with that is if he doesn't play well, or he, you know, Joe Quenneville senses that he's a weak link and Nashville is exposing it, that pair is going to be broken up. Then what does Joe Quenneville do? What's his plan B? What's his next plan of attack? Is it putting Seabrook back with Keith? Does this mean more minutes for those two in the first round? Does it mean Seabrook play, you know, basically does it mean him going to a five-man rotation? And if that's what he's got to do until Brian Campbell gets healthy, which, you know, we're talking at the very earliest Game 4, Game 5 of this series, how taxing is that going to be? Because, again, more minutes means, you know, more occasions where these guys are going to get plastered by Nashville Predator forwards. So I think it's so important that Dustin Byfuglien has a good series and just plays simple, banging off the boards hockey. And if he can't do it, he's probably going to be on the bench or in the press box, and we're going to see Nick Boynton again.
Oh,
that's what he needs to do. And you know, and I think, in the other case is Duncan Keith will probably just have to trust Dustin Byfuglien to carry the puck up.
If
Duncan Keith brings the puck up and loses it, or there's something that goes wrong with Dustin Keith bringing that puck up, then Dustin Byfuglien is the last line of defense, and the Blackhawks don't want that. It's going to be very interesting, that chess game that's played.
And that's also, Keith, changing my prediction.
Also, very important, we're talking about the little things here. The Blackhawks are a far superior team in one aspect of the game, and a few, you know, to the Predators. But the one that I think is most important is faceoffs. If the Blackhawks have the puck a lot, I don't care what the Predators are going to attempt to do, you know, putting masses of, you know, just so many, as many bodies as they can in the middle of the ice, and just trying to keep the Blackhawks playing, you know, on the perimeter, which is what they're going to attempt to do. If the Blackhawks had the puck the whole time, eventually the Predators are going to start running around, and the openings are going to be there, and the Blackhawks will quickly pick up two or three goals.
And you mentioned faceoffs. My other guy that I was thinking of was John Madden, a guy who started the year great. Disappeared for a long time. He was number two on my list that really needs to perform well.
And I think he will. I wrote, I haven't put it up on my site yet because I just haven't had time, but if you go to Second City Hockey or the Fifth Feather or BlackhawkUp.com, I participated in a question and answer with those guys, and basically just a few questions on the series and I guess getting people primed up. John Madden's my guy for this series alone, being a guy who steps up and has a standout series. I really do expect it. Last year when the Carolina Hurricanes stunned the New Jersey Devils, and I didn't think they stunned them. I predicted that, and I also predicted Carolina. I'm going to pat myself on the back. I predicted Carolina beating the top seed Boston in the conference semis too. But in that series, John Madden was ace for the Devils, and he's going to need to bring that. I know it's a year later. I know that he's had a rough second half, both on the home front and on the ice. But this is the time. This is what they got John Madden for, and he knows it. He's a veteran. He's a proud guy, and I believe he's going to come out and he's going to have a great series. I expect him to chip in two or three big goals for the Blackhawks. And, you know, with him on a line with Ladd, and if they can just keep Versteeg in check a little bit, you know, which is, you know, that's the burden of having Chris Versteeg on your line. Not only are you defending the opposition, you're also kind of defending Chris Versteeg.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think that with Ladd and Madden, you can do it. And I look for that combo, and along with Versteeg sort of creating a little offense on that line, I look for Madden to you know, jump up in the play, smash in some rebounds, score a couple of his own. I look for a big performance out of him for this series alone. As the playoffs wear along, it's going to be tougher and tougher for him. Especially, and this is the last guy I want to talk about, Dave Boland. All right? I'm tired of the excuses. I'm tired of, you know, speculation or giving him the benefit of the doubt. The guy has been back for 26 games now, okay? He had he had a back problem, but he had minor back surgery. He's been back for 26 games. He came back in February. He had 2 weeks off for the Olympics, and he's been, you know, he's played in every game since, all right? The guy in 39 games this year has 16 points. He's on pace, or he paced his season. And I know that he started slow because of the injury, but we didn't see much from him afterwards. If you prorate Dave Boland's season as the second-line center on the Blackhawks that makes, what, $3.8 million this year? Or $3.4 million, if you prorate his season, he scores 12 or 13 goals and 33 points as the Blackhawks' second-line center. Okay? They need more, and they need it right now. And if Dave Boland can't perform and he can't produce with Patrick Kane, one of the best players offensively in the world, on his right side, then he needs to find a new occupation. Dave Boland has to come in, and he needs to – I'm not saying he needs to be the Hawks' best player. I'm not saying that he needs to I'm not looking for Dave Boland of last year just yet. I need to see positive signs out of him, and I need to see him every game. I need to see him every period. I need to see him, you know, I just need to see something from him that gives me some sort of confidence that what I'm about to predict – you know, I'm not nuts, because the Blackhawks can't go far if it's, you know, if their offense is coming from their secondary offense, center-wise, is coming from Madden and Colin Frazier. They're not going far. Dave Boland's got to step up, and I'm sick and tired of the excuses. I don't think he's that great a player. I don't think he's worth the money, and I don't think he's the second-line center on a Stanley Cup team. Those are all my thoughts on Dave Boland, and they've been it for a long time. You know, and he's had an awful year, and yeah, he was injured and everything, but now's the time. Put something forward. Show me something, Dave Boland. Because the Hawks aren't they're not going to get past some of these teams if he's a passenger. It's just not going to happen. And there's no excuse to be a passenger on a line with Patrick Kane. You've got to get yourself open, and you've got to produce offensively when Patrick Kane's on your line, because he's the playmaker. No one ever accused Dave Bolin of being a playmaker because he never was. Marty Habit was the playmaker on that line last year with Bolin and Ladd. He was the guy who lugged the mail. Now it's Patrick Kane. That's why they put Patrick Kane with Dave Bolin. So now, I mean, let's see something. All right. Before you want to talk about Patrick Kane. All right. Now, this is the season when I hate this. All right. There's a lot of things about I have a love hate relationship with hockey, and this time of the season is one of them. Playoff beards and all these dopes running around with just bad facial hair just because.
It's an excuse to be lazy.
I don't know what it's an excuse to. Like, I remember when I went away on tournaments and stuff, you know, and or just for fun going away for a weekend with the boys. And you did stuff that was crazy or wild, the team bonding things, just because you were young and it was something – it was something to, I don't know, just to amuse yourself as a group. You know, but you were 17 years old. These guys are professionals. And they, I mean, they're not getting paid much money now. They're getting per diems. But, I mean, they're representing a league, you know. And, you know, it's absurd to me that the league allows this to go on and you know, basically, you know, promotes it. You know, when Sidney Crosby, the best player in the world, looks like a freak on your television broadcast. I mean, how are you supposed to promote a guy who looks like a child molester?
He is. He does look really bad.
Jonathan Toews, you know, with the bad, you know, the real, you know, bad sideburns, and he just looks like a goof. I mean, these guys, you know, they're adorable to hockey fans because they've got these silly beards. But if you walked past this guy on the street and didn't know he was a hockey player, you would create more distance between you and that person.
I definitely would. I'd like to create more distance anyways, but.
I hate it. It's just so stupid. But Patrick Kane, and maybe the brilliance of Patrick Kane, because, you know, it's difficult for that kid to grow a beard, decided to go in a different direction yesterday and showed up at the Blackhawks' first playoff practice with the old-style mullet. Apparently, Patrick Kane's owed to Kenny Powers.
Good for him.
Did you see it?
I did not. I'm actually looking for it right now.
I think, you know, I mean, it doesn't look great. I mean, if you saw him on the train, you'd be like, who is this dude? But I think if it was his intention to make fun of the tradition of playoff beards by doing that, you know, trying to start like his own mini club, I think it's brilliant. I don't know that that's what he did or that's what he was thinking, but I'll give him the benefit of the doubt just for this day, and I'm going to call Patrick Kane brilliant.
That doesn't happen very often.
No.
You know, speaking of, you know, Black, I want to bring something else up while we're talking playoffs and not necessarily playoff things on the ice, kind of external from on-ice activities. The Blackhawks and WGN hosted a playoff bash. Did you hear about this?
No, it's right. I mean, I heard about it. It's right down the street from me, but I didn't.
Okay, that's my point. I live in the city of Chicago. I live, in fact, in the Loop. Grown up in the city of Chicago, I had no idea where the hell Pioneer Court was.
It's outside the Tribune Tower.
Well, I found out like after the fact. But when you. We're going to do something and you advertise it, hey, we're doing it at Pioneer Court, you might want to tell people where fucking Pioneer Court is.
Well, that's because, I mean, some of the people that work for the Hawks live in that Tribune bubble. You know, where, well, it's the Tribune Tower. Of course everybody knows, you know. I only know that it's Pioneer Court because over the summer I worked at a place right down the street on Michigan Avenue, and every day I walked past there.
Right, but before that, did you know that
area? That's where the Rubber Ducky Derby was.
I need to go to the Rubber Ducky Derby.
Yeah, that is where the Rubber Ducky Derby is, right there on Michigan and the Chicago River.
I was like, great. I would love to stop by my lunch break and check out the rest of the mouth breathers, but
no, you wouldn't, because that would mean having to step closer to Blackhawks fans.
Well, yeah, but I would have gone. I didn't know where to go. I was willing and able to go. I just didn't have direction.
Wanted to do a couple of emails here. This person didn't leave a name, but they were quite taken aback by my last week on the show. We talked about Superstar is not only getting married, but he's going to have a bachelor party in Las Vegas, Nevada, in the first weekend of August. And this person was quite appalled by Block. That would be me trying to make it, as he put it here, trying to make the whole thing about myself.
Buck, as you know, this isn't the first time you've been accused of this.
I cannot believe how self-centered you are to complain about the... No, that's not important. Complain about the timing of your friend's wedding. Make it all about yourself. Blackhawks opening night happens every year. Your friend's wedding only happens once a lifetime. Well, we're talking about Superstar, though. Nothing else here is important. But, yeah, they couldn't believe that I tried to make I was complaining because I wasn't advised or made part of the planning of your bachelor party or your actual wedding date. I stand by it. I don't care. Call me self-centered, call me a prick, whatever. It's crappy timing.
Well, as it goes on, and the more it becomes a quote-unquote, you know, minor issue, you know, I actually laugh and am glad Soundgarden's playing at night, and I hope it is opening day. Just to piss you off.
Speaking of opening day, I grew up a Cubs fan, as you know, Superstar, because I grew up not that far from Wrigley Field, right down the street there. But I got to say, with each passing year, I hate Cubs fans with a passion. This has got to be the collective. I mean, as much as I'm sort of leery of Blackhawks fans at this point, this has got to be the biggest collection of dopes on the planet. I mean,
I don't know if they're dopes as much as they're douchebags.
I mean, I'm not endorsing this. Please don't anybody go out and try to pull this one off. But I wonder, like, how much better of a city we would be is if on Wrigley Field, Chicago Cubs opening day, someone were to go by and accidentally implode Wrigley Field with 40,000 Cub fans in it. I don't think that our city would be that bad off for it. I go by there, and I look at these people, and it's like, I hate them. I hate them with a passion. I have no baseball allegiance really, but I can't bring myself to be happy or invest any emotion in the Cubs because of these people. I mean, what? When's the last time the Cubs won a World Series?
1908.
Okay, so let's estimate here. About 200 people, I don't know, what do you say? Maybe on the whole planet, there's probably 500 people left that were alive that year, right?
I wouldn't even say that. I'd say you're closer to the 100, 150 range, but yeah.
I would pay money to go if the Cubs went and collected these 150 people that were alive the last time they won a World Series and put them in Wrigley Field and, like, hold a Q&A with these people. I would pay to see that because I think it would be more entertaining than a Cub game.
Well, I don't know about it as a Cub game. As a Cub fan, I understand what you're saying.
You know that they suck. You know that they're horrible every year. And you get halfway through the year and you boo them out of the park. And then you show up on opening day pretending like they're the greatest team in sports. And you love them.
Just what we do.
Hate these people.
I don't disagree at all with your thoughts. It's the same reason why the Cubs, regardless of how bad they are. So you, me, and seven other drunken idiots could be the starting lineup for the Cubs. We'd still be 5-1 in Vegas to win the World Series. Because that's just how Cub fans are. They go and put a lot of money and eternal optimists, and that's just, we're a bunch of douchebags. What do you want me to say?
I agree. All right, we got to get to these predictions. All right, why don't we start in the East? Why don't you go ahead and give me your thoughts here. Washington and Montreal, 1-8, the Capitals and the Canadiens. What do you think here?
You know what? How long did it take for Montreal to get those last 2 points to clinch a playoff spot? My God.
I will say, when I was listening to the preview or the preseason predictions,
yeah.
I did say, I think my exact quote is, somehow, some way, the Canadiens will find a way to clinch that eighth spot. I said that, on, what was it, October 1st or something. So I'm pretty proud of myself.
Well, congratulations. It only took them 3 weeks to get 2 points to clinch it. But, yeah, Washington's just too good. I see the Caps in five, and I think I'm being generous to the Canadiens, giving him one win out of that.
Alexander Ovechkin doesn't just take out opposing players. He took out his own goalie today when he hit Jose Theodore with a shot in practice, and Theodore left practice and did not return. So I don't know what the status of that is. Haven't had a chance to check since I got the news this morning or this afternoon, but should be interesting there to see what happens with Jose Theodore. I'm sure he will he'll be fine and be back, if not in game one and game two. It didn't sound like it was that serious, but that's something to think about there. Of course, Jose Theodore was once a Montreal Canadian, was once thought to be, the next savior, kind of like Carey Price was this year, or had been, and now Yaroslav Halak is going to be that guy. But I look at the series a little bit differently. I don't like Montreal to win this series, but you're also talking about the two best power plays in the league, in Montreal and Washington. You're looking at, this is going to be a fun series. If you want to watch end to end, exciting, balls to the wall hockey. Not necessarily, in a physical sense, but this is going to be the series to watch. It's going to be end-to-end. There's going to be terrific passing. There's going to be a lot of I think where Washington's going to get in trouble here is there's going to be a lot of individual effort type of deals with Semin and Ovechkin trying to do everything themselves. I think that keeps Montreal in the series. If it becomes, an issue of power play, both teams are virtually identical on special teams. Without looking at the penalty killing numbers, I've seen enough of both teams to know that both power plays are going to be able to do a lot of damage in the series if that's what it becomes. I look for Washington to be the better team all series long, but it's going to take them 7 games to win that series. Montreal is just not – I mean, Halak will be the best goalie in the series, but – They're just not going to be able to endure 7 games of the offensive onslaught that the Capitals will bring, and the Capitals will get this one in seven. Now let's talk about a series that started tonight, New Jersey and the Philadelphia Flyers. Your thoughts?
You know what? I went back and forth on this one a lot, hearing quote-unquote experts and everything, and I'm going to take Philadelphia in six. Obviously, the game tonight is already finished up. Even if New Jersey had won tonight, I was still taking Philadelphia in six. Philadelphia was 5-1 against New Jersey and Marty Berger throughout the course of the year. A couple different goalies, Lettinen and Boucher, both winning a couple games for Philly over the course of the year. And I just think Philadelphia is Marty Berger's kryptonite, and they showed it once again tonight.
That regular season record is something to that does. I mean, I thought about that a lot, but I don't know. I think that New Jersey is they're a better team than Philadelphia. The goaltending, of course, Marty Brodeur is due to step up in a playoff, and. You know, maybe like, you know, like I'm very critical about Joe Thornton not stepping up in playoffs. Maybe I should be the same with Marty Brodeur, but I just think that he's going to come through in this series. I don't look for New Jersey to go very far in the playoffs, but I think that six games, New Jersey takes out Philadelphia, and Philadelphia loses yet another playoff series on their home ice. This is a series that I think I went back and forth on a lot. Buffalo and Boston. Boston, the sixth seed. Buffalo, of course, the third. What do you think here?
You know, I also went back and forth. And I just see Ryan Miller playing too well. He's carried that team for so long. I think he takes Buffalo to that next level, and then I see Buffalo in six. On the shoulders, and I think he could go seven, but that's all on the shoulders of Ryan Miller.
Yeah, I thought a lot about, you know, Boston, it would make perfect nonsense to think that Boston would show up in this series and make life difficult for the Sabres. But I just don't see it. Ryan Miller is going to be fantastic. Buffalo is going to score more goals. You know, I think Buffalo's got a better offense than people think, and Boston just doesn't have enough offense. They'll grind games out. I see a lot of close games, but I just don't see that Boston team being able to win more than. I mean, they're not going to win more than two. I've got to win in one. I'm taking Buffalo in five, and. We'll talk a little bit more about Buffalo in a minute. And the last series in the East also got underway tonight. I think this is going to be a doozy of a series. The Pittsburgh Penguins are coming into the playoffs sort of not playing well and haven't sort of found their groove yet. Of course, Evgeny Malkin's been nursing some injuries. Pittsburgh and Ottawa.
Despite what happened tonight, I think Pittsburgh's obviously by far the more skilled team. They have the playoff experience, and I see that carrying them through. I went Pittsburgh in six.
Yeah, I'm going to do the same. I was thinking about seven, but I think once Pittsburgh gets going on Ottawa, and you know they get to Ottawa offensively, I think they're going to roll. And yeah, six games, and the Penguins move on to. Let's go through these a little bit more quickly. Washington, well, on my bracket anyway, your bracket's going to be a little bit different. Of course, the seeds remain the same, so the highest seed plays the lowest seed. So Washington on your sheet there is playing who?
Pittsburgh.
Yeah, that's one as well on mine. So a second-round matchup between the Capitals and the Penguins. What do you got there?
You know, let me just say I loathe this series already. Because I can't stand watching these teams every week on national TV. I think it'll be a hell of a series. It's been a hell of a kind of rivalry all year, as NBC and the NHL Network tells me every day. I do like Washington in six, though.
Yeah, I like Washington in seven games. And I think that to speak to what you were just saying, I think the NHL needs to do a better job, specifically, you know, teams like this. Now, I know the NBC contract comes into play late in the season, and they have games that they want, you know, and players that they want to get, matchups that they want to have spotlighted on NBC. But I think they need to be a little bit more selective, especially in the Ovechkin-Crosby case, because we just had two games in the last couple of weeks with these guys on national television, and it's going to be a couple of weeks before we get there, but then we're going to have, you know, in my predictions anyway, we're going to have seven games in 2 weeks between these two teams. You know, when it comes, you should thirst for it. And the NHL needs to be a little bit more selective and plan their schedule out better. So, you know, when they get to the playoffs and that matchup happens, people aren't tired of it before it gets there. And but I'm going to say this, and this is off topic, and I really should write a column about this. Have you seen – do you have HBO Superstar?
I do.
Have you seen the Larry Bird Magic Johnson documentary?
No.
You have to watch it. And I'm telling you, even if – I'm not a big basketball guy. I was a basketball guy in that era. But you – any hockey fan, any sports fan, you have to watch that documentary. And you will learn so much about how these things need to be handled. And the NHL should watch that documentary, because how Crosby and Ovechkin should be presented to the public, that, I mean, it's 101. I don't want to say any more about it, because I really love to write about it. But just watch that documentary. It's a great documentary, but the way the NBA, that rivalry is how the NBA got big. And, you know, it carried that league. And they were very fortunate that those two teams ended up, you know, kept meeting in the playoffs, you know, in the finals and everything. But, considering they're on different coasts. But, you know, the NHL has this Crosby-Ovechkin thing, and it's regional, and, you know, it's just, gosh. I mean, just watch.
You know what? Luckily for hockey fans like myself, it'll be over in round two.
Yeah. New Jersey, on my prediction sheet here, New Jersey and Buffalo. What is your other Eastern Conference semifinal?
I have Philadelphia and Buffalo.
What are you thinking there?
I think coming off a tough series for Philadelphia, that is just going to be a grind. I think... Yeah, Buffalo kind of exerts themselves and weighs on them. I like Buffalo in five over Philadelphia.
I'm taking Buffalo in six over the Devils. I just think that the Devils, Marty Brodeur will hit a wall eventually. I'm predicting that Marty Brodeur will stand on his head and win a playoff series against the Flyers, a team that he had problems with during the regular season. But I think I have confidence, obviously, that he's going to do it. That'll end in round two against Buffalo. Buffalo will be able to stand toe-to-toe with the Devils and knock them out in six on home ice in whatever they're calling Marine Midland Arena these days. It's still, I guess it would be HSBC still. All right, your Eastern Conference final then is Washington and Buffalo. What do you got there?
As great as Ryan Miller is, and I have no problem calling him the best goalie in the world, right now. Unfortunately, as a former goalie, you know you need a solid defense in front of you. When you have a 40, a 50, a couple 30, a 20 goal score, Washington's just too tough offensively. And I like the Caps in six.
Right. We talk a lot about how, nationally you hear a lot about how slight of a guy Ryan Miller is and how the war that, you know, that he has to endure the NHL season, because let's face it, Ryan Miller has to play nearly every game because he doesn't have an NHL backup behind him. He's got Patrick Laline. God bless Patrick Laline, the popcorn eating machine, Patrick Laline. But I mean, he ain't gonna find work in the NHL next year, and if he does, it's gonna be because somebody really, really likes him, you know, and wants to have him around because he's not an NHL goalie anymore. But Ryan Miller will wear down. And, yeah, I see the Capitals taking in five, moving on to the Stanley Cup Finals. Now in the West. This should be easy. San Jose and Colorado.
You know, in the West, is like you said, it's pretty easy. I see San Jose taking care of Colorado pretty quick. Although I think it could be a lot quicker. I think San Jose in five. I could see that going a little longer because, you know, Colorado's one of those teams that they, a lot like the Boston Red Sox were a couple of years ago. They're just too dumb to know any better that they shouldn't be there. So I think they could hang around, but I do like San Jose early in that series.
All right, you know what? I'm going to change my prediction just because you weren't bold enough to go sweep. And again, like here we do this every year, and I put some of my eggs in the San Jose basket, and then somebody steps on my basket, namely Joe Thornton and Evgeny Babakov. Sometimes I will say that the San Jose Sharks are going to sweep. I don't think that the Avs are anymore. They've got some veterans and some grit and some guys that I think are really, you know, just so proud and. I would love to think that they're going to – I mean, they may be in some of these games, but to me, San Jose is going to make quick work of them. I'll say they're going to sweep the Avs. The Avs are coming in limping, and I don't think that they're too dumb to know any better. I think they're a team that knows that they're in deep, deep shit, and, you know, they're coming in wounded, and I don't think they have any confidence at all. And I don't – Joe Sacco is going to play the reset button. But I don't think that team can reset. That team's tired, it's banged up, and San Jose's going to pounce right on it. San Jose's got a lot to prove, and I mean this is the right matchup for the Sharks to get going, and I see them sweeping. Now the Blackhawks and the Predators, we already went over it.
Hey, Block. That being said, if I'm in Vegas, I'm betting the house on Colorado tonight.
My predictions are legendarily
bad.
I guess. So we both picked the Blackhawks in six. Moving on then, Vancouver and the LA Kings. This is an interesting series because Vancouver's kind of beat up. They've got Roberto Luongo. They have a guy who a lot of people are touting for the Hart Trophy, who's the leading scorer in the league, Henrik Sedin. And they're playing the LA Kings, a team that we talked about when we thought that they were going to finish seventh and you know, basically be in a situation where they could possibly play the Blackhawks. I still like the LA Kings. I still think that they're going to give a team in the first round, in this case Vancouver, a bunch of fits. But I also, I mean, this is the first dance that they've showed up at, and I think that's going to mean something. They've got a balanced attack, and they've got some veterans and some interesting guys, Ryan Smith, Jared Stoll, Sean O'Donnell. Of course, I think that they have the best young defenseman, Duncan Keith included, in hockey, and Drew Doughty. This is going to be a crazy series. You're going to see Vancouver win games handily. I think you're going to see the Kings dominate Vancouver handily. We just saw it a couple of weeks ago in L.A. where Luongo got lit up for eight and Elaine Vigneault left him in for all eight. It's going to be a nasty series, too. I think this is going to become a rivalry, but I see Vancouver taking it in seven. I think the home ice means everything in this series. Vancouver takes this thing in seven.
Well, you know, you stole my thunder there as far as the home ice. Vancouver's got a little more experience. I see them coming out and handling things at home early, getting out to a quick 2-0 lead in the series, stealing, you know, at least one in L.A., and I see Vancouver winning in five.
Wow. Okay. You're a lot braver man than I. And I don't want five because, I think I'm going to be very entertained by this series, looking forward to it immensely. But, yeah, Vancouver 7, you say 5. Now, Phoenix and Detroit, quickly.
Is anybody giving the Phoenix Coyotes any chance in hell in this series?
A lot of people are because they're playing the Brizgalov factor, and I want to get to that in a minute, so let's go.
I like the 27.
Wow. And you think it's going to go seven?
I think it's going seven. I like Detroit in seven. If you were paying attention early in the first period or halfway through the first period, Grzegorzewski forgot how to catch a puck that seemed pretty stoppable. So I think he'll be rattled most of the series. Detroit's too good. I think Phoenix will hang around, but Detroit's seven.
I'm not a believer in the Phoenix Coyotes. I think you've got a team there that got hot at the end of the season. They did a lot of damage. They picked up a lot of points in shootouts and getting past regulation and getting those extra points is more than any team out there. And the Blackhawks were actually very healthy at this, too. If you look at the stats, the Blackhawks accumulated a lot of points going past regulation. I mean, I still think the Blackhawks are a great team and a lot better than Phoenix, but, you know, I'm not buying the team, you know, guys that you know, they get, scoring from all these different sources and a different hero every night. I'm tired of hearing that crap. These guys are lucky to be where they're at. They're not, I mean, they're excellently coached, but it still remains to be seen. Dave Tippett's not had a lot of success in the playoffs, and he's had a lot better teams in this group. And if Brzgalov isn't phenomenal, they don't stand a chance. And I don't think he's going to be phenomenal. And the Red Wings are a lot better team than the Coyotes. The Red Wings get it done in five. So, we picked everything exactly the same. So we got San Jose then in Detroit, Chicago and Vancouver. What do you think about San Jose and Detroit?
I think, you know, the Nabokov, Joe Thornton playoff version show up again. And I think Detroit comes back, bites them in the ass. I like Detroit in six.
So winning it, obviously winning at home then. Here's my deal with Detroit. Now, I believe that there are two teams in this playoff that have an opportunity to upset the Blackhawks. And those two teams are Vancouver and Detroit. Vancouver to a lot lesser extent, because all I'm concerned about with the Blackhawks, predicting the Blackhawks over the Vancouver Canucks, is the Blackhawks losing their composure and it becoming a series of, you know, basically with the Blackhawks in the box and, you know, 5-on-5, the Blackhawks will, it won't even be close, I don't think. But if it ends up a power play series, Vancouver's gonna, you know, I mean, they could take it. And, you know, I don't think that January 23rd or whatever it was, I don't think that series or that game was an anomaly. That can happen. That could happen once at the United Center. It could happen twice in Vancouver. And then you're talking about a game between two teams that are pretty even that could be decided by a goalie. And, yeah, Roberto Luongo hasn't had the greatest playoffs, but he also just won a gold medal, you know, which a lot of people said is the best hockey game that they've ever seen. So if that was the best hockey game that you ever saw, that probably meant the best hockey players in the world were in it, and USA was pretty good. So I think that if he played pretty well in that game, he could play pretty well in the conference semifinals against the Blackhawks. But that being said, I really like San Jose to beat Detroit, and I'm going to say this right now. How far the Red Wings go depends on how long Nick Lidstrom can hold up. There's a reason why Nick Lidstrom isn't really being talked about for the Norris Trophy this year. It's not because people are, well, maybe it, to a certain extent it is, because people are tired of voting for him, because the people who vote for these awards make up their own rules about the awards. But it's because he's starting to show his age. And there are games where he doesn't look like Nicholas Lidstrom anymore. And if he has a series where he isn't Nicholas Lidstrom that we've come to know, then that means Erickson and Cronwall have to step up and, you know, take his place. And Rafalski can't, you know, be turning the puck over all the time. So, I don't know. I just see Lidstrom hitting a wall and – San Jose will ride some momentum out of that. Here we go again. Like I say, I'm never going to do it, but I'm going to do it again. San Jose will ride the momentum of getting that favorable first-round matchup. The Red Wings will run out of gas. Again, this is a team that's played a ton of hockey. And I look for San Jose to win that series in six or seven games. Chicago and Vancouver. What do you think?
I don't like the series for the Hawks. I just don't. I like you, I think it's one of the two teams that could trip them up. And like you said, it's a matter of what team shows up. They're composed. They play their game. Don't take stupid penalties, a.k.a. to try to limit the Adam Burrish ice time.
Adam Burrish may not play in the playoffs, but two guys that you can point out in that series about talking about composure are Versteeg and Dave Bolin. We talked about Dave Bolin earlier. Dave Bolin, when you stack those two teams up against each other, and another reason why Vancouver is very dangerous if you're looking at it from a Hawk perspective, is because when you stack up those lines, okay, Taves is going to be chasing the Sedins around a bunch, right? Cycling in the corner, he's going to be using a lot of energy doing that. Keith's going to be coming down in the corner. Seabrook, the Blackhawks are going to expend a lot of energy chasing those guys around, okay, because it's going to be those guys that are put right up against that line. So then you got that second line. Ryan Kessler's a lot better player than Dave Bolin. If that's what the series comes down to, the Blackhawks are in a lot of trouble if Dave Bolin doesn't start playing better. So, yeah, that's I think that's something to be concerned about as well.
It's crazy, and what we just talked about, I think it's still two teams, which often shows up. I do think they pull it out, but I think it's in six.
The Hawks in six. All right, I say the Blackhawks in seven. So we agree the Hawks are going to win that series.
Yeah, I tentatively agree.
Because the way you started that out, I thought you were bouncing the Blackhawks from the playoffs.
Well, no, I am not.
I'm surprised to see that you said that.
Yeah, no, not yet.
Okay, so the most favorable. I guess there could be more favorable. They could get the Avalanche in the conference finals. Actually, they wouldn't. They would play in the second round. But San Jose and the Blackhawks. To me, this is where San Jose runs into something that they just cannot control. It'll be a tough series. It'll be a competitive series. But I trust the Blackhawks' best players to come out and perform every night more than I do the San Jose Sharks' best players, and eventually Nabokov's going to be gotten to, and I think the Blackhawks will be the ones to get to him. I look for the Blackhawks to clinch their first Stanley Cup playoff berth since 1992 in six games.
Well, I have a different bracket. Obviously, I have the Detroit Red Wings and the Hawks in the conference finals. And I, as much as I want to pick the Hawks and think they could beat the Wings, I think this is another case of the older brother keeping the younger brother down. I like the Wings in seven on the UCI.
Oh, boy. All right, then. So you've got the Washington Capitals and the Detroit Red Wings. How do you see that Stanley Cup final shaking out?
I think on this one I went more heart than head, because I just absolutely cannot stand the Washington Capitals. As talented as they are, and I think obviously they've got to be the front runner in Vegas to win it all. I actually have the Detroit Red Wings winning the Cup in six games.
I look at it differently. I think obviously the Blackhawks being in the Stanley Cup final is going to be enormous for the city. Just absolutely crazy. By that time, both the Cubs and the White Sox should be eliminated from the playoffs. And I mean, this city's going to be nuts. The football, won't even be thought of just yet. And gosh, I mean, it's if it happens, it's going to be something else. And I do believe it's going to happen. If the Blackhawks play up to their abilities. And I also believe that the Washington Capitals, this is a coming-of-age season for them. I'm going with this Stanley Cup final anyway by two things, because I see Ovechkin coming of age in these playoffs. Washington, I can pick them over Pittsburgh because it's just they've had Pittsburgh's number this year, and it really seems like it's not just Ovechkin when the Capitals play the Penguins, and they have that confidence of beating them. And I just see that they've got that edge to them this year that they want it. And like I said, I think that they're gonna have their ups and downs against Montreal. They're gonna learn some things from that series. Then they're gonna get the big matchup with the Penguins, and it's gonna be grueling. It's gonna be tough, but they're gonna do it. And then they're gonna get Buffalo, and they're just gonna start rolling like a machine by then. And then I see them going up against the Blackhawks and taking them in six and skating the cup at the United Center. I can't think of a way that the Blackhawks can deal with the Capitals at that point with just the onslaught of offense by, you know, the Blackhawks are going to have to be so incredibly disciplined and sound defensively, and I think when they do that, it sort of gets them out of their game. When they get in that mode, like we've seen it when they played Phoenix Coyotes and the LA Kings, I mean, they could do it to those kind of teams because they don't really have to worry about, you know, those teams, you know, having too much offensive firepower. But in games with the Capitals, it turns into a shootout. It just does. And the Capitals win that shootout. And those are our predictions.
Wow. I think Washington by far is the best team in these playoffs. In my head, I just can't pick them. I can't stand anything about that team. You know, quicker they go away, the better for me. But yeah, I see them. I see them also in the finals.
Yeah, I'm not disagreeing with you on any of that. I just look at the way that it kind of shakes out for them, and sort of the things that Ovechkin has gone through, you know, to this point. And I think that if he can turn that, you know, around into positive energy for himself, and he can focus. You know, there's people questioning about, you know, him being a team player. You know, is his exuberance when his team scores, is that all a show? Is it really just all about Ovi? And I he has a lot to prove. And if Ovechkin, if he's focused and he wants to do everything on the ice and do it all the right way and contribute in every aspect of the game, he can be the best player. It's just a question of, you know, does he do it? You know, and he does it some nights, but Crosby's done it every night this year. And that's why I think Crosby's the best player in the world. Ovechkin's the most exciting player in the world, no doubt. But I just see this as a coming-of-age season for him, and he's got that support. I mean, that supporting cast, it's a lot better. I mean, that offense is so deep. Steckel, Eric Fehr, Thomas Fleischmann, they are going to – I mean, the Blackhawks don't even have that kind of depth. And,
no, you didn't even mention Semin and, you know, those
guys. Well, I mean,
guys.
I was counting Semin and Bastion, but, yeah, I mean, they don't have that kind of depth. And the goalie situation, no matter what it is at that point, whether it's Niemi or Huey, whether it's Teodor or Varlamov, cancels each other out. You know, you're talking about Washington's best players against the Hawks' best players, and I can't not pick the Capitals. So,
and in that series, if it talks, I'm sorry, Washington, that series, if you're in Vegas, is going over every game.
More than likely. All right, we don't have time for any nonsense. Or we were gonna do at least a couple of the year end awards. We're gonna have to do that on Monday night because we don't have any time here. We already went over what we wanted to do. But, yeah, so Monday night, what would that be? Monday night, April the 19th, it'll be after games 1 and 2, 8 o'clock here at blogtalkradio.com/thethirdmanin. And then also on iTunes, go in there and punch us up, The Third Man In Radio, or, you know, just use my name. You'll probably get right to it. And or thethirdmanin.com, you know, if you want to go there. Anyway, Superstar, we'll look forward to looking back at our preseason predictions, talking about the Blackhawks, regular season awards. I'll be sending you
awards and a little game 1 and 2 breakdown.
Yes, it should be very exciting. I think it could be our best show ever. I do want to say, Hockey Night guys had to cancel on us. Now, of course, we're not doing a show on Tuesday night because it'll be game 3 of the Hawks and Preds, so we will not be commemorating Hitler's birthday with Hitler enthusiast Forklift on Tuesday night. But also, there's a reason why those guys canceled on us. Now, Forklift, now this is interesting. Now, Forklift said, you know, he had said to me that he cannot do April 20th, the show, live from Lawshut's Inn because he happens to have a dinner and dancing date on that particular night, a Tuesday night in April. He has a dinner and dancing night, which just so happens to be Hitler's birthday.
I have a feeling that is not a coincidence. That was well planned out on his part, I think.
Yes, and if you've listened to the Hockey Night show lately, they are endorsing a political candidate who is pro-Nazi. So I don't know how these guys could claim that it's all coincidence anymore.
Yeah, no, I don't think it is.
No.
I don't think it is. But, the location of the dinner dancing date would be the true test of where that location is actually, where that function is actually being held.
All right, I do have to hit our sponsors one more time, and I was supposed to do it earlier, and I may have to cut and paste it somewhere, you know, earlier in the program. Again, Chicago's Pizza and Pasta, chicagospizza.com, Lincoln Avenue, Sheffield, Montrose, Irving. Look them up on chicagos-pizza.com. Most of those locations are open very, very late at night. And, of course, it's the greatest dish of pizza in Chicago, Pretty Girls Massage Spa, Superstar. You know, sometimes I go in there and I just ask them, you know, to, lube me up, you know, just extra oil. And I ask them to leave the room for a little bit, and I just let it roll down me.
Don't lie. You don't ask them to leave. I have no doubt you let it roll down you, but there's no way you're asking them to leave.
4906 West Irving Park Road in Chicago, just a block west of Irving. Well, on Irving. It's a block west of Milwaukee and Cicero, the good six corners there. 4906 West Irving Park Road, 773-545-9588 if you want to get an appointment in there to get yourself all rubbed up. Also, the NIHL Inline Hockey League, NIHL InlineHockey.com. Go there. June 3rd, league start up for the inline hockey at the Leafs Ice Center out there in West Dundee. And also, now, Superstar, this is exciting. On Wednesday night, April the 28th, the third annual Chicago Sexpo.
Whoa. Where do I?
Now you got it.
There we go.
The Chicago Sexpo, the third annual. See, now I didn't even know that this thing existed. Wednesday night, April the 28th, 2010, coincidentally, 9 p.m. at the Excalibur Vision Nightclub down there on just off Dearborn or Ontario, wherever it is. Just walk around downtown and you'll find it. Just go to thechicagosexpo.com. You get all the information. It's going to be a great night of adult entertainment. It's Chicago's only adult entertainment trade show and exposition, and it only happens one night a year, and that's Wednesday night, April the 28th, from 9 until 4. They will have BDSM demonstrations. Now, I'm not going to pretend to know what that is, Superstar.
Yeah, right. Well, the first thing about that is, what time does the Madden Christmas Eve event open up?
There'll be pole dancing demonstrations, lingerie fashion shows, bikini fashion show and contest. There's going to be adult porn stars, adult entertainment stars. There's going to be gentlemen club bringing their ladies down. There's going to be toys, books, magazines, DVDs, videos, clothing, lingerie, and whips if you want to bring a little extra cash and maybe take yourself out a little goodie bag. Okay, I'm all excited about the Chicago Sexpo. TheChicagoSexpo.com. All right, Superstar, it's been a pleasure. And I will talk to you on Monday night.
Monday night it is.
All right, the Third Man in Radio is calling it. Quits here tonight.
You take drugs, Danny?
Every day.
Good. What's the problem?
I don't know.
All right, Superstar, say goodbye to the people.
Goodbye, people.